All right, let's start out in Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. We have a lot of friendships in this life. Some of them come and go. Some are lifelong friendships. But I want to show you this morning the greatest friend of all, the greatest friend that anyone could ever have, and that is Jesus the Christ. He is speaking in chapter 11, and I'm just going to pull something out of here for a second for us to look at. Verse 16, chapter 11 of Matthew says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil." Verse 19, he says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children." Now here, these that he's speaking of who said this about him, they meant it as a slur. They were cutting him down. They were cutting the Lord down by saying that he associates with winebibbers and sinners, gluttonous. But what they didn't realize was they were right. What they said is a great truth for us. They meant it as a slur. They meant it as harm to him by saying that he was a friend of sinners. But the fact is, he is the friend of sinners. Praise God that he is. For we are all sinners. We are all sinners under the fall of Adam. Now he proved himself to be the friend of sinners in his life. He came to this earth. That in itself declares what a great friend of sinners he is. He came to this earth. He left the majesty of his Father. He left all that behind and came to this earth among sin and among sinners. Who would do such a thing for his friends? What a difference. We don't think about that enough, I don't think. What did he leave behind to come to this earth for his friends? Majesty on high. Holiness. Untainted worship. No sin. Just holiness. In the presence of holiness forever. Not like he spent a week there. Jesus Christ is eternal. He left his holy eternal home and came to this earth. And he was born of a sinner. Mary was a human just like we are. How low did he stoop for his friends? About as far as you could even imagine. And we really can't get a grasp on how far down he came to be born of Mary on this earth. He wasn't just a prophet, as they'll claim nowadays. No, he was God himself. Nothing that was created without him. Nothing. He created all things. The true and living God from heaven above. The eternal God. Cared about his friends, didn't he? He cared about his friends and loved his friends so much that he left all of that and was born of a sinner. What kind of a difference was it being in heaven around the seraphims and all the creatures that praised him? I would say 24/7, but I don't know if that exists in heaven, but forever. Forever. And when he opened his eyes, where was he? He was there with the cattle and the animals in a stable. That's a pretty big jump down, isn't it? That's a pretty big jump down. About as big as you can imagine. He proved himself that he was a friend of sinners by doing this. Now we know that even though Mary was a sinner, Christ was not. He knew no sin. But now, if he had been the true son of Joseph, that would have been a different story, wouldn't it? He would have had sinful blood running through his veins. But he wasn't. He wasn't the true son of Joseph. He was the true son of God the Father. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. If he was Joseph's son, he would not qualify for what he came to do for his friends. He would have been disqualified. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, just a page or two over for you. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, leprosy is a terrible thing. It causes your flesh to decompose. It's a terrible thing. Terrible disease. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. This is the Son of God, pure and without sin. He didn't stand off at a distance holding his nose, and let me tell you, leprosy, it smells bad. Smells bad. It's death. It is the smell of death. No. Not our friend. Not the friend of this leper. He didn't stand off a ways away and command that the leper be made whole or made clean or healed of this terrible disease. Nope. Verse 3 says, and Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him. He touched him. Saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Let me tell you that this was this leper's greatest friend that he ever met. What a friend. And he loved this man as a friend. He loved him so much, he wasn't concerned with touching this leper whose skin was decomposing off of his body. No, this was his friend. And he was there, Jesus Christ was there to save his friend. And he reached out to that leper and he touched him. Does that sound familiar? It does to me. It does to me because he reached out and he touched me. And he did it because he loved me and he's my friend. The greatest friend that you will ever know. He reached out and he touched that leper. And that leper was made whole, made clean. And so was I. And so were you. The greatest friend you'll ever know. He reached out and he touched you if you know him. Because a dreaded disease had a hold of you and you had no power over it. None. And you were perishing. Oh, but along came a friend. Praise God. He reached out and he touched you just like he did this leper. And he healed you. He proved that he was his friend. This same chapter in verse 14, we read, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever." Here again, this was not leprosy. She simply had a fever. But most of the time when people have fever, they're contagious. And then we try not to touch them, don't we? We try to stay away from people when we have a fever. But in verse 15, we find that she had a friend. And this friend was Jesus. And he touched her hand. And the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto him. She arose and took care of him. There again, he proved that he was a true friend. He reached out and he touched her and healed her. Now Jesus came into direct personal contact with sin. Yet he was never contaminated with it. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. The perfect God. Not only did he associate with sinners, not only does he associate with us, but he's always seeking our good by his ministry, by his plan, his life here on earth. He was always seeking their good. He was not afraid to associate with the sinners. Because though the religious leaders of that time didn't know what they were talking about, they were correct. He was the sinner's friend. He was a friend to sinners. A friend to sinners. John chapter 4, look at another little story. John chapter 4. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Now we know that the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans, and it was very uncommon for one of them to even speak to a Samaritan, especially a Samaritan woman. But Jesus did. He said in verse 7, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, verse 9, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God. So we can say she didn't know of the gift of God, because he said, If thou knewest of the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. She met a friend at the well, didn't she? She didn't know it yet, but she's about to know it. And the reason she's about to realize that he is a friend is because he is going to reveal himself to her. He's going to reveal himself to her. Verse 15, The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. So, he shows her right here that he knows all about her. She knows she's never seen him before. She thinks he's a stranger, but she doesn't realize that he's her friend. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And she goes on to say, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So we see that the Lord went out of his way on his little journey here to go to Samaria. He went out of his way because, as we read, he must needs go to Samaria. Now he opens up this woman's understanding. That's what he does. He reveals himself to her. He reveals himself to her as the Son of God. And she believes on him. And if we keep reading, we'll see that she immediately ran back to the men of her village there, of her town, and told them. And they believed. And they come and saw him, and they believed on him too. Jesus looked for her. Jesus had an appointment with her. Though she didn't have a clue, he had an appointment with her. He had to go to Samaria. He sought her out. He found her. He revealed himself unto her. And he gave her something that nobody in her village could give her. No man on earth could give her. He gave her living water. What He did was He gave her Himself. He gave her saving knowledge of who He was. Jesus Christ. He sought her out, found her, revealed Himself unto her. What did He do first? Before He revealed Himself unto her, He revealed herself unto her, didn't He? He did. He did. That's what He does for us too. Another picture of Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend, the friend of the sinner. Praise God that He associates with sinners when He was on this earth. Praise God that He comes to us, though we be sinners, because He loves us. What a great love He loves us with. He not only proved His love to His friends by preaching to them, by healing them, by caring for them, providing for them. I mean, He fed 5,000 plus women and kids with just a basket full, about enough for one or two people. But besides all these things, He proved that He was their friend because He lifted their names up to His Father in prayer. He prayed for them. Isn't that proof of a true friend? It is. It is. True friends pray for each other. They lift each other up to the Father. And Jesus did that very thing. We can find that in John chapter 17. We won't read it though for sake of time. We'll keep going. He loved these sinners so much that He made His grave with the wicked. He was numbered with the transgressors because He loved His friends. The sword of God's justice was drawn against sin. We were talking about where Jesus came from. He came from His Father, who is perfect, holy, and righteous in all His ways. No sin known there. That sword of God's justice was drawn against sin. And it was coming down on the sinners. It shall come down on the sinners. It's God's way and it's right. It's God's justice. I got this from C.H. Spurgeon in one of his sermons. He said he sees the sword of God's justice coming down on the sinner, and it's faster than a bolt of lightning. But in the middle of that bolt of lightning of God's sword of justice coming down, what is it? It's the friend of sinners jumping in front of that sword and taking that blast. What a friend. What a friend. He took God's wrath on Himself for us when He carried our sins on that cross. It's not a story. He really did it. He really did it. When you trust in Him as your friend, you realize what a great friend He really is. Not only before time did He do things for you, and He did. He loved you before the foundations of this world. Back in eternity past, He loved you as His friend. And He had a plan for you in your life. He had a plan for you in eternity. Then He came and He suffered. And let me tell you, all of us put together could not feel the suffering that Jesus Christ suffered. We all know sin. We know we deserve it. Jesus Christ knew no sin. He really was and is God. And He took the wrath of His Father and He took it for you. And He suffered and bled and gave up His life for you. That's how good of a friend He is to you. That's how good of a friend. That's pretty amazing. No ordinary suffering. Jesus is the friend of those who have no friend. He will be the greatest friend to you that you've ever known if you trust in Him. If you believe in Him, He will be the greatest friend that you could ever imagine. He will take care of all of your needs. He will heal you. He will change your heart and He will give you a desire for Him. Let me tell you how long it lasts. There's no end to it. We were talking the other day about how far it is from east to west. It's so far that they don't connect. You can measure for eternity. There's no end to it. There's no end to God's love for you if He's your friend this morning. You may have days of sickness, but He's your friend and He'll heal you. You may be poor, but He's your friend and He'll provide for you. You may doubt Him. You may dishonor Him. You may forget about Him for moments in your life. But He won't go away because He loves you that much. And He will never, ever leave you. Never leave you. What a friend we have in Jesus.